Are you recording now?
I'm recording. This is gonna sound weird.
Things are about to get weird.
Just get to the murder.
And welcome back to this podcast we like to call This Is Gonna Sound Weird. I am one of your hosts, Sydney.
And I'm your other host, Taylor. And I'm drinking water because I'm parched.
Taylor's not really. I was trying to go for like a late night radio talk show host voice. Like, you're listening to late night radio. But no, here's Taylor just guzzling water outside of her hydro flask. But yeah, this is a podcast called This Is Gonna Sound Weird, where we talk about all things true crime, paranormal, and everything in between. Each week we have a different theme, and this week's theme is
North Carolina.
Let me see you raise up, take your shirt off, twist it around your head, spin like a helicopter. All right, so ironically enough, I went to a Carolina Hurricanes game last week. And whenever they score, you take whatever, like a t-shirt or a towel, and you wave, you know, you whip it around your head like a helicopter. Well, they had given us free t-shirts because it was the season opener. And so I had been swinging that around, and at one point I had put my t-shirt down on the floor, and I guess someone must have spilt some beer on my t-shirt. And so when I went to go pick it up, I was like, oh, it's wet. So I wasn't gonna whip it around my head, so I just kind of like am spinning it just a little bit, but I was standing up, and it was right at eye level with this kid next to me. And so the kid next to me just starts screaming, I'm getting sprayed!
No.
To which my boyfriend was like, wow, you are here just terrorizing these children.
Slanging beer.
Because I had also slanging beer on these kids. And so the whole weekend he was like, yes, and he threw a beer on this kid. I love to like prop my feet up on chairs like in front of me at events. And so this kid in front of me, I had my foot rested on his chair, and he hit his head on my foot and then looked at me. And so then it became a joke that I kick children and slang beer on them.
Look.
Which I'd like to go on record and say, I did not kick that kid. His head ran into my foot.
I'm gonna have to go with the kid on this one because, to be fair, you know, that was his seat. And I feel like it's usually the opposite. The kid will have its feet on the adult's chair, and then the adult will get pissed or, you know, something will happen. So that was your own fault for kicking that kid in the head.
You know, I have to disagree. I'm reclaiming it. You know, all these kids be terrorizing us, kicking the back of our seat, and I'm gonna take it from here. I'm going to start terrorizing them.
Okay, you do that. See how that'll go for you.
I'm gonna get banned from sporting events.
I just try to avoid kids at all costs. Because you know it's just a lot. It's just a lot. That's why I don't have any right now. That and the fact that you know I got stuff going on. I'm busy. Ain't got time for them.
Ain't got time for them kids. Ain't got no money.
Heck no. Broke. But not broke enough to not, you know, bought Tex 2 Halloween costumes this week because his fat ass couldn't fit into the first one. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what am I going to do for Halloween? I may go to a law school party, which should be just riveting.
I'm sure.
I just want to go somewhere where I can wear a costume. I'm going as like, I want to go as like Stevie Nicks. I got a little hat, and I already pretty much got clothes I can already wear, so we'll see how that goes.
Like any girl in our generation, she has, you know, black Doc Martens, flowy black skirts, long cardigans, and a floppy black hat.
Yup. So I thought that would also be something, you know, like if we just want to like, you know, if I just want to like go out to maybe like a bar or something, it's like kind of a costume, but not enough to wear. If ain't nobody wearing a costume, they'll be like, oh, look at this weirdo in a costume. Since we know I live out in the boonies and people probably make fun of me.
It's okay. I went to a bar on Saturday dressed like Hugh Hefner, so... And my boyfriend was dressed like a Playboy bunny, so...
Yeah, I feel like...
And it wasn't even that that close to Halloween. Like, we're out 3 weeks out, but we still have fun.
Hey, look, I had a pumpkin spice latte today in my ghost sweater. The pumpkin spice latte was very strong, and it proceeded to give me a massive headache. So that was fun, but it tasted good while it lasted.
Yep. I also had a pumpkin spice latte. I did not have a ghost sweater on because I was at work, but I am excited to wear my bat sweater later this week.
Mm-hmm. I got 2 compliments at the coffee shop, and I felt good about it. Hipsters love to give compliments.
I know. She tagged ModCloth on Instagram. She's trying to get sponsored.
Look, I would love to be sponsored because if I could afford it, I would buy a lot more clothes from them, but it's expensive.
I would as well.
But I mean,
the sweaters that me and Taylor have were obnoxiously expensive.
Yeah. But like, also, it's quality material. I have like a cardigan from them. It's so thick. It was like $100. I got it for Christmas. But it is nice. Even my dad, you know, dads don't pay attention to clothes, right? They just don't. I got this cardigan, and my dad, I literally saw him one day, like, and he was like, where'd you get that, like, sweater at? I really like that sweater. Like, it was random. So, ModCloth, if you'd like to sponsor this, please do, because even dads notice your clothing, the quality of your clothing, and we know dads don't notice shit. I could probably shave my head bald, and my dad would be like, huh, you want to get something done? Can't tell.
Yeah. This is true. Could shave my head. Dad wouldn't bat an eyelash. But if you wear jeans with holes in them, the world will halt.
Yeah, I was wearing some jeans with holes in them when I went home this weekend. And my dad and his friends were making fun of my holy jeans. And let me just say, I don't prefer a jean with holes in it. But that's pretty much all you can get. The cute jeans, they have holes in them. So I don't know what to tell you. I didn't make it.
I didn't. I just bought it. Mm-mm.
But this ain't a podcast about holy jeans, no matter how holy they may be. This podcast today is about North Carolina, our home state,
which is in the Bible Belt, aka the Holy Land.
Holy Land, and the place where all the old ladies hate holy jeans.
This is true.
So I go first, right? Right. I think so. Yeah.
Yes, you. I went first last week, so please indulge us in a story.
Okay. So this week, you know, I was gonna do true crime, but then I decided not to, because what I wanted to do, I think I'm gonna save for later, unless you are doing it today, in which case, damn it. but I'm doing mine on the Wampus Cat. You ever heard of it?
Aw, yeah, the Wampus Cat!
Have you heard of it?
If you know, you know. I've heard of it. Our mutual friend Polly has told me a story about her parents encountering a Wampus Cat.
Now,
in the mountains of North Carolina.
Now, I've never heard of a Wampus Cat, but it's interesting because there's some, which I'm going to tell you, there's stories behind it, obviously. So, these are my sources. AppalachianHistory.net, the story of the Wampus Cat by David Tabler. And it is Appalachian, not Appalachian. I feel like I have to say that. For all the people who may be listening,
mm-hmm.
NorthCarolinaGhost.com, The Wampus Cat, and Wikipedia.com. So, if you're ever in the mountains of Western North Carolina, you better be careful because you may just encounter a mythical green-eyed cat having occult powers, and this cat is known as the Wampus Cat. But in other places, there are versions of the Wampus Cat, and they're named other things such as the Galley Wampus, the Whistling Wampus. But apparently in the Appalachian Mountains, it's just simply the Wampus Cat. And if you do run into the cat, you should probably watch out because it's said to prey on both livestock and humans. It has huge fangs and it can even walk upright. And it has 6 legs instead of 4. And some say that 4 of the legs are for running and the other 2 are for fighting. And I don't know why this cracks me up. But picturing it like running and then it's just got like these 2 random arms just like swinging at you about to beat your ass up.
Absolutely. They posting up every day.
Yeah. I don't know why that cracked me up, but And it's also said to let out, you know, ear-piercing screams. Not as funny. That's pretty creepy. So, the story goes that the Wampus Cat was actually once a beautiful Cherokee woman. So, this woman had a husband who would often leave the village, and he would go with the other men to go hunting for food. But before the men would go on these trips, they would gather in the woods together. And they would go in the woods because they were asking forgiveness for taking the lives of the animals. And they were also going to get some supernatural help for their hunt. However, only men were allowed to attend these meetings, no women. But this one woman was very curious about these meetings. She wanted to know what was going on. And she was so curious, she just had to know. It was consuming her. And so, you know, she really wanted to know what kind of secret magic these men were learning. So she begged her husband. She was like, please, please, will you tell me what is going on in these rituals in the woods? But he was like, no, I can't tell you because you're a woman. God forbid you're a woman.
He said, Saturdays are for the boys, babe. Please. Please.
The midnight rituals in the woods are for boys. Only. Boys, all boys only. But you know what? This wasn't going to work for her. She was like, I have to know what's going on. So one night, as the men went out into the woods, you know, before a hunt, she decided she was going to follow them. So she got a cougar skin and wrapped it around herself because, you know, she was going to try to disguise herself. So she would just look like an animal. And she started creeping through the woods and she found the men in a clearing in the forest. And she had hid behind a rock to watch them. She was like trying to see what was going on. And she was in awe of finally learning the secret she'd been so curious about. But she wasn't happy just watching behind the rock. You know, she wanted to get up close. So she got closer and closer because she wanted to know every single detail. But the, quote, sorcerer who was leading... Now, before I continue, when I get to the end, this story is, I'm pretty sure, not an actual Cherokee story. It is like a Western version. So some of these terms are probably some white people bullshit that they have inserted. Mm-hmm. So we'll keep that in mind, you know. Because sorcerer, I don't really think that is a Native American term. I'm going to go ahead and just say that.
No,
I don't
probably think so. Not.
But they called it a sorcerer. So he was leading the ritual and saw her in the cougar costume. The cougar costume. She got it at Party City.
I saw her in her mascot uniform.
But he spotted her. He realized that this was not a cougar. And so the men in the circle grabbed her and dragged her into the middle of the circle. And because she had broken the rules, the sorcerer cast a spell on her, which made the cougar skin that was wrapped around her body turn into her real skin. But she did not become a full normal cougar. She was a half cougar, half human mix. And she was cursed to live alone in the woods forever. And she would never enjoy human company again. So now the Wampus Cat wanders the Appalachian Mountains at night alone. And some say that she'll steal animals, ruin farms, kill people. And they say that she's acting out of anger from being cut off from the rest of mankind. So if you're ever in the Appalachian Mountains and hear a cat whining or crying or, you know, just a spooky cougar that you, if you see just like a spooky looking cougar, it could be a Wampus Cat. Now, this version most likely seems to be a, like, I guess you'd call it a westernized, like, it's not a Cherokee legend. It's like about a Cherokee woman, but I don't think it's Cherokee legend. Now, but there's another version of the Wampus Cat and how it came to be, and it's very different, and I'm not completely sure if this is Cherokee folklore or not. One, the AppalachianHistory.net kind of tried to, I don't know if they were trying to imply that it was Cherokee folklore. If anybody knows specifically if this is Cherokee folklore or if it's just another story from the white people, let me know. But this is another story that what could be the Wampus Cat. And it's a lot different. So I'm interested to see, like, if anybody knows the actual origin. So this story goes that there's an evil demon called Ewa. I'm sure I'm not pronouncing that right. It's E-W apostrophe A-H. And he was known as the Spirit of Madness, and he had been terrorizing the village of Etowa and slash Chota, it can differ, which is in modern day North Carolina. So he was terrorizing a village in North Carolina of Cherokee people. And so because of this, the village chief and shaman called for a meeting, and they wanted to send some men out to go kill this demon before the demon killed the tribe. Because apparently this demon had the power to drive men crazy with just one glance. And they would apparently also feast on the dreams of Cherokee children. Which, you know what? I ain't about that. I'm not about it. Because you can't control your dreams.
No. That's true. That's true. I had a crazy dream about me in a grocery store. And I was like, what does this mean? And every time I have a dream, I'm like, what does this mean? And I'm like, I don't think it means anything.
Most of my dreams are just like, they'll involve something that happened that day, but then it's just be like, just weird. Like, it'll be like, something happened that day will occur in the dream, and I'm like, but why everything else? I feel like I hadn't had a dream in a long time.
Yes, like I went to the grocery store earlier that day, so I'm having a dream about the grocery store, but there's also a shark there.
Yeah, so like that movie, what is it, Sausage Party? Have you ever watched that movie?
I've never watched that movie.
It is.
I know what you're talking about, but I've never seen it.
I watched it in, like, high school because I was like, oh, I'm going to watch this dirty movie about food that's also a cartoon. Very weird movie. I don't know if I would recommend. I haven't watched it in a while. But anyways, so we're back to this. So this demon's, you know, feasting on the dreams of children. And so the tribe decided that something had to be done. And for some reason, they decided they were going to send one man out alone to go kill this demon. And he wanted to go out because he was going to bring honor back to the tribe and to his family. So they say that the man's name was Standing Bear or Great Fellow. And he was apparently the strongest, fastest, sneakiest, smartest, and most respected member of the Cherokee Nation. And he was chosen to go and battle this demon. So when he left the village, he was blessed by the shamans and the chiefs. And they gave him a lot of weapons to go slay this demon. And when he was on the edge of town about to leave, he gave his wife running deer, you know, like a little kiss and told her goodbye. And so weeks went by and he had still not returned home. But suddenly, one night, he came running back to the camp, screaming and clawing at his eyes. And they said after this, he was just not the same. And the article said that Running Deer, which was the wife, said that she knew at this point her husband was basically dead. Now, the article says this. I don't know if this is accurate to Cherokee actual, you know, tradition. But this is what it said. It said, because apparently according to, quote, Cherokee law, if the man was unable to be a, quote, good husband, it meant he was dead and his name was never spoken of again.
Oh, wow.
So, I don't know. You know, I don't know how accurate this is. This could also...
You know what? We should bring that back. If you wish your husband...
You did. You did to me.
You just lose your right to your own name.
Yeah, so that's kind of what they said. You know, instead of bringing back honor, he came back and he was dead to apparently everybody. But, you know, Running Deer, his wife, she really loved him. And she was really mad that this demon had destroyed him, I guess emotionally. So she wanted revenge on this demon. So she went to the shamans and they gave her a mask, which was of a bobcat's face, and told her that the spirit of this mountain cat could withstand the demon. But she had to go and surprise the demon. You know, she had to sneak up on him and get him. And she was also given a special black paste that she rubbed all over her body that was partially to help her camouflage herself in the woods. And it was supposed to help mask the scent on her body, I guess, so the demon couldn't smell her coming. You know, kind of like a deer. Can't be wearing, I've heard when you go hunting, you can't wear clothes that have laundry detergent on them or whatever.
Yes, because I've seen that on TikTok where their husband, like, people, their husbands will piss them off, so they, like, will put, like, fabric softener and smelly goo beads and the detergent for their hunting clothes. They're like, well, good luck, motherfucker.
Yes. So this woman, she kissed her, they called, quote, former husband on the forehead, and she went out to get her revenge. So she was like, goodbye, I'm going out to get my revenge on this demon. So luckily she knew the woods well, because she had to be out in the woods for days searching for this demon. So she was able to, you know, eat berries, keep herself alive. If it was me, I would have died. I also would have never gone out. I would have been like, sorry, husband, I know you've lost all your dignity, but yeah, I just can't be going out here fighting this demon by myself. Like, I just don't think I got what it takes.
I'm not a very outdoorsy girl, so that's just going to be a no for me.
It's going to be a no for me, dog. But one night while she was out there, she heard a creature by a stream nearby. And so she slowly started creeping towards the creek. And when she reached the edge of the creek, she saw footprints that did not belong there. And she also saw her husband's breastplate laying near the edge of the water. So she followed the footprints upstream, and she saw the demon lurching over the water, getting something to drink. And so the demon at this point still had not seen her, and, you know, she has to surprise it and able to kill it or whatever. So she crept up on it and she sprung onto the demon, and when the demon turned around, it saw her cat spirit mask, and this cat spirit just made it go crazy, because it started going wild. And I guess the bobcat magic powers took this demon out. The demon tumbled back into the water, and Running Deer said, I gotta get up out of here. So she immediately turned around and ran as fast as she could back to the village, never looking back. And so she got home. It said that she sang a quiet song to herself, which was both of grief for her husband and for joy for banishing the demon. And so the shamans and the chiefs declared her as the spirit talker and home protector. And to this day, some say that the spirit of Running Deer inhabits the Wampus Cat, and that she will eternally continue her mission of watching over her tribe's land and protect them from evil. So, in what I read, it kind of made it seem like that second story may have been like actual, like a Cherokee story. Because it made it seem like most non-native, like Appalachian people think that the Wampus Cat is an evil cat with yellow eyes that's gonna eat your ass up. So I want to tell both versions. But the reason I really did this, so a little background about the story. So, like I said, the first story involves a Cherokee woman, and so does the second one. But it's likely that either at least one or both of these stories were just told about Cherokee people. But it seems that the idea of the Wampus Cat actually came about in the first half of the 19th century. But at the time, it wasn't the Wampus Cat. It was a catawampus. And as you know, my family used, and I guess a lot of families in North Carolina, used the term catty. They would not say catawampus. We say cattywampus. And so I was like, you know, I wanted to know what was up with this. And apparently, catawampus at this time was a word that was used to describe the idea of some unknown animal lurking in the woods, or it was a word that was used to blame any, like, unusual event on. It was like, that was weird. That shit was catawampus. And so, it says that the word has multiple meanings in a bunch of, like, different American dialects, and it says that it can, you know, include identifying a mysterious animal, describing something that's placed on a corner, and as a term to describe something that's just messed up or gone awry. And so the last use of the word, which is how my family uses it, like, you know, that's all cattywampus, which is like, that's just all messed up. Apparently, it's, like, very specifically Western, like, North Carolina dialect, but now it has been spread kind of across the Southeast U.S. a little bit more. And I don't know about anybody else, but I'm very interested in dialects. I don't know why. It's fascinating to me. But apparently, so, you know, it's obviously, it's called the Wampus Cat. So sometime in the early 20th century, the syllables of this got switched. And for the purpose of the story, it became the Wampus Cat. And before this, the word wampus in, like, North Carolina still was just some mysterious animal. But the story of the Wampus Cat being a Cherokee woman that basically was cursed and was, you know, roaming around, that apparently didn't start appearing until the 20th century. which was like the early 1900s. So in reality, the Wampus Cat story isn't very old. And so that is the story of the Wampus Cat, which really, I was just curious. When I started researching, I was like, how does this relate to Cattywampus? And now we know.
For the people who are maybe not from the western part of the state, could you maybe explain how you would use Cattywampus in a sentence today when not describing, you know, a crazy animal?
So like for me or like for my grandma, I feel like, you know, if you saw something, I don't even know, it would be something that's kind of like just all like messed up. Like maybe you got like, I'm trying to think, like, it's just like, it's just messed up. Like, maybe your dog runs through the house and, you know, knocks something all up over the place. He knocks over something and then you're like, dang, that's cattywampus. Which, mm-hmm. some people they'll also, like, my grandma would kind of use it, like, to just be like, it's just kind of off kilter, something a little off kilter. But it also said it could refer to, like,
yeah, like, if you have a picture on the wall that's a little bit crooked, you might say, mm-hmm. it's a bit cattywampus.
But for me, at least, I feel like when you use cattywampus as opposed to crooked, like, it's real messed up. It ain't just, like, a little crooked. Like, that shit's all cattywampus. And when we use it, you don't just say, oh, that's cattywampus. Like, for me, you say, that's all cattywampus. You gotta put that in front of it. We really should have got Mama Green on the phone at 9:29. She's probably asleep. She really could have done a deep dive into cattywampus.
You know what? Phone her in next time.
Okay, yeah.
See if you can't get an interview.
Should have asked her. I was home this weekend. I could have asked. She showed me her. Unfortunately, her little dog passed away. Like everybody's dog this year is passing away. So she showed me her little dog's grave. It's real nice. My uncle put up rocks and everything. She's getting a headstone. She looks real good. She's got some flowers on the grave. It's real nice. Real nice.
Real nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm not from the western part of the state, so I've never encountered a wampus cat. To be honest, I hope I don't, because they sound scary.
Or really nice, depending on which version of the story you believe. But if you encounter any story...
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. If I see a large cat anywhere, I'm going to be scared.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. My uncle recently killed a bobcat and posted photos of it on the internet. So, yep. Even though I didn't realize the bobcat had spots. So, apparently it does.
All right. You sure it wasn't a Dalmatian?
Now that would have been something. No, it was not a Dalmatian. It was definitely a cat. I do believe. Hopefully it wasn't a house cat. If it was a house cat, it was a very large house cat.
It needs a very large litter box. All right, so I'm going to move on to my story. Once again, my voice may sound a little bit more annoying. If you've been listening the past couple weeks, you know that I have been having a issue with my tonsils. It has flared back up, and I may have to get my tonsils removed, so stay tuned.
You get to eat a lot of ice cream. That's all I think about when people say they get their tonsils removed. I feel like in the movies, you just see people eating hella ice cream once they get their tonsils removed.
I will be eating hella ice cream. I love ice cream. Taylor don't love ice cream like I do.
No, I do not. I'll eat like one spoonful, and I'm like, I'm done. I'm about to die.
Yeah. I could eat a half gallon and be like, please, may I have some more? Alright, so my story this week is on Gary Michael Hilton, aka the National Forest Serial Killer. My sources, is that the one you wanted to do?
Nope.
Okay, well.
We're good. We're in the clear.
She can bookmark whatever story she wanted to do for another week. So, my sources are Wikipedia, Murderpedia, and allthat'sinteresting.com. So, Gary Michael Hilton was born on November 26, 1946, in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, I couldn't find much information about his childhood other than he allegedly had a turbulent childhood and that he joined the United States Army as a paratrooper, and in 1967 he experienced a schizophrenic episode and was honorably discharged.
I'm sorry, okay? I'm not trying to stop you. But you know how usually when we listen to, like, stories about serial killers or killers, it's all like, they wet the bed, they killed animals, they, what's the other one? They hit their head when they were young. It's like the three. We need to add they were in the military as a fourth one. I feel like they always talk about the three. In the military, it's gotta be number four. Because every damn time. Okay, that's enough for me.
Yep. Yep, 100%. Because, like, they were already a little messed up, and then they had, like, a lot of trauma in the military, and now they're, like, real messed up. So he was married and divorced three times, and had a slew of arrests for drinking and driving, carrying a gun without a license, drug possession, and 21 counts of solicitation. Now, on December 7th, 2005, 26-year-old Rosanna Molina was hiking in Bryson City, North Carolina. She was last seen with Hilton in a store buying clothes, and the shop owner later told police that Hilton had claimed to be a traveling preacher. Mm. Hilton later beat Rosanna to death and stole her bank card. On October 21st, 2007, John and Irene Bryant, a retired couple from North Carolina, left for a hike through the Pisgah National Forest. They encountered Hilton, who bludgeoned Irene to death and then kidnapped John. Hilton drove John to various ATMs throughout the town before shooting him in the head. When the couple's family hadn't heard from them, they reported them missing, and after examining the couple's phone records, they found that Irene had attempted to call 911 on the day she disappeared, but the signal was lost and the call was dropped. The Henderson County Police Department launched a full-blown search party of around 30 volunteers, cadaver dogs, and a helicopter to search the area. On November 10th, a woman's body was found on the Barnett Branch Trail. Coroners later identified the body as belonging to Irene, and because her death had occurred on federal land, the FBI issued an investigation. A $10,000 reward was offered to anyone who could provide information leading to an arrest. Police then discovered that a bank card belonging to the Bryants had been used to withdraw $300 from an ATM in Ducktown, Tennessee. ATM cameras showed an older Caucasian man wearing a yellow rain jacket. On February 3rd, 2008, a hunter discovered a skull in, and I'm probably going to butcher this, Nantahala National Forest. Police then discovered a pelvic bone, and then I lost my mind. Yeah, they found a pelvis and a spine, and they were located about 20 yards from the skull. The bones were sent to a medical examiner in Chapel Hill, who was able to identify the remains as belonging to John Bryant. On December 3rd, 2007, 46-year-old Cheryl Dodge Dunlop was reading by her car outside of Florida's Apalachicola National Forest when Hilton killed and decapitated her body. When Cheryl did not show up for work at the Florida State University in Tallahassee, where she was a nurse, her co-workers reported her missing. A search party of around 180 people were organized to find her, but were unable to locate her. Now, on December 16th, a hunter discovered a body in the Apalachicola National Forest. Medical examiners ran DNA and confirmed that the body did in fact belong to Cheryl. Police found that Cheryl's ATM card was used five different times in Tallahassee and that $700 had been drawn out of her account. ATM footage showed a man in a green truck, and police announced that they were looking for someone matching this description. And tips began to pour in, however, nothing came of this. Now, on New Year's Day of 2008, 24-year-old Meredith Emerson went for a hike with her dog in Chattahoochee National Forest. 4 days later, Meredith was found decapitated. Upon investigating, police received reports from several witnesses that observed a mysterious older man with his own dog following Meredith through the forest. That man was 61-year-old Gary Hilton, a local drifter known for his strange behavior and vicious temper, who often walked his dog, Dandy, along the trail.
Why do they always got dogs with cute names? Like the guy last week I talked about, he literally had a dog named Bleep. Like what?
Also, here's my issue. You notice a creepy man following a cute girl and you're not like, hey, maybe I should watch out for her. Like, what the fuck, people?
Mm-hmm.
I ain't even gonna lie. Because I listen to so much true crime. Mm-hmm. If I see a girl who looks like she might be being followed by a random person, I will sit and watch her.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure she get to her car safe or whatever.
Oh, yeah. You got to make sure. I've heard a story of, like, a girl one time who, I can't remember, maybe I was listening to, like, a listener story on My Favorite Murder or something. And, like, this lady was just, like, either driving by or walking by this girl in a parking lot. And it kind of seemed like they were just having, like, she was having an argument with her boyfriend. But when the lady went by, the girl, mm-hmm. like, mouthed, she was like, help me. And the lady helped her. And turns out the guy was trying to, like, kidnap her. And she, like, saved her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to be looking out for your fellow human.
Yeah.
Come on now, people.
Which a lot of times, I know that this is probably bad of me, but when I'm in public, I've just got, like, I try to avoid interacting with anybody. Like, I'm very cognizant of my surroundings, but, like, I don't interact with people in public. Like, Brandon, he'll, like, interact with people, and I'm, like, I'm convinced that's how he end up, like, getting involved in situations. Like, last week, he had to get a drunk man out of a bar because they needed help, and I'm just, like, when I'm in public, I'm a one-track mind. I'm going where I'm going. You ain't gonna stop me. If you say something to me, you gonna have to chase me if you need me, because I ain't stopping.
Absolutely. I put my AirPods in when I'm in the grocery store just so people won't talk to me.
Yeah. And that, like, last week whenever I got hit by that car in that little car accident, I called Brandon, and the reason I had called him, I was like, hey, I just want you to know I'm right here. In case I get murdered, this is where I am. If I get kidnapped, I was like, wasn't even thinking about, oh, my car just got all wrecked up and I just got in a wreck. I was literally calling him. I was like, hey, if I get murdered, this is where I'm at.
Fair enough. I'm on the side of the road. That's where every crime happens.
Mm-hmm. And it was on a busy road, too, but I was like, you can't never be too sure. Can't never be too sure.
Absolutely not. Now, Meredith's dog, Ella, was found wandering at a Kroger parking lot just a few days after Meredith's disappearance. On January 5th, authorities located numerous items belonging to Meredith, including her bloody clothing, wallet, driver's license, her University of Georgia ID, and a blood-stained car seatbelt inside a dumpster near a Quick Trip parking lot in Cumming, Georgia. Now, Hilton was arrested, and it was revealed that he had forced Meredith to camp with him for days and promised to let her go if she gave him her account information. When Meredith tried to escape, she lost her footing, and Hilton was able to bludgeon her to death before decapitating her. He left her body, quote, covered by leaves and brush. Hilton stated he could not bring himself to kill her dog. Hilton confessed to killing Meredith and said he would tell police where to find her body if they protected him from the death penalty, adding, the head will be missing.
Hmm.
Upon examining Hilton's van, authorities noticed that it was missing its rear car seatbelt, which matched the one located with Meredith's personal belongings in the dumpster. Hilton pleaded guilty to Meredith's murder and was sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole after 30 years.
What?
In September 2009, a hiker found camping supplies believed to belong to Hilton. These items were linked to the murder of Cheryl Dunlap. At his trial, Hilton claimed he abducted Cheryl from the Leon Sinks Geological Area and held her captive for 2 days before killing and decapitating her. He attempted to get rid of her body by throwing her head and hands in a fire pit before finally dumping the body in the forest. Hilton was found guilty on 3 of the 4 charges and was sentenced to death. In 2012, Hilton was charged with the murders of John and Irene Brandt, and he pled guilty and was sentenced to an additional term without the chance of parole. Today, he is still on death row in Florida and is suspected to be responsible for several other murders. However, the lack of evidence prevents prosecutors from moving ahead in those cases. These potential victims include Judy Smith, Jason Knapp, Michael Lewis, and then technically Rosanna Millenia is technically a believed because they were never able to connect the evidence, but it's very clear that he is the one that did it. But I had never heard of that story before.
I haven't either. So, like, what was his motive? Money?
I think he was just, like, he was, like, mentally ill and was homeless and just kind of would wander. And I think, honestly, he just, like, it kind of was money, but I think on some level it seemed like maybe he was a bit lonely because he would hold these women for a couple days.
Because, like, yeah, because you said that the one girl that he had camped with, he wanted her, like, account information, which I feel like is weird because usually when we think, like, serial killers like that, like, I feel like there's always a sexual motive, like, almost always.
Yes, and from what I can tell, there was no, like, sexualization of the victims or their bodies, which I find is interesting. So it really just seems like, but the decapitation is very interesting because I feel like that almost has a little bit of a sexual component.
Yeah.
I don't know how. That's just the way it feels to me.
Yeah, that's weird. I looked at pictures of him. And so the pictures of when he first got arrested, I was like, oh, you know, he just looks like, he doesn't look like normal. But then I saw a picture of a most recent mugshot, and he looking a little scary. I'm not gonna lie. Damn. Also, yeah,
the picture on his Wikipedia page is terrifying.
Yeah. I'm surprised I've never heard of him because he was active, like, so Bryson City, at least, like, that's maybe about an hour from my house, and what is that, like, 2008-ish? Mm-hmm. I'm really surprised I never heard of it. Unless, you know, by the time, like, that had happened, he was, like, already gone, and maybe they didn't realize it was, like, a serial killer or something. But, yeah. I'd never heard of that. I'd never heard of him. Weird.
Yeah. And it's interesting because it's such a recent case. Uh-huh. Like, I mean, it's about 10 years ago, but that seems fairly recent.
Oh, yeah.
And he was active over 3 or 4 states.
Yeah, I wonder if that's kind of why, like, it never really, like, popped off in one specific state, because he was just kind of, like, going through.
I don't know, but I literally looked up, like, infamous crimes in North Carolina, and that came up, and I was like, I've never heard of this. This is quite interesting.
Weird. Well,
especially because it was all in, like, forest walking trails, because, you know, like, if your family's like mine, they're like, don't walk anywhere by yourself, don't go on those walking trails by yourself.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't go by myself. I mean, whenever we used to go hiking, I would always go with Brandon, but, like, today if I ever, like, went hiking, I would take Tex with me, which, like, clearly her dog didn't, you know, fend him off, but, like, Tex is a bitch, so he probably would at least try to help me.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I've seen him try to eat the Amazon man. It's terrifying.
I know. He hates that Amazon man. But, yeah, thank you for that story.
Yeah, you're welcome. I tried to keep, you know, Taylor texted me and was like, I think I'm doing more of a folklore. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to do more true crime. I know we're all shocked.
I'm very, you
know, very uncharacteristic of me to lean towards the true crime.
I'm extremely shocked. You can see it written all over my face. Just utter and complete shockery.
She is just baffled and speechless.
Speechless. Absolutely.
But what is our theme for next week, Taylor?
It is, it's our Halloween special. So, that pretty much means that we can do anything we want with a little Halloween or spooky twist.
Spooky twist.
So, I have no idea what I'm going to do.
That's exactly what that means.
Which I guess,
I probably have a little bit of an idea, but, yeah, just know it's going to be spooky. I hope y'all don't get too scared. It'll come out the Friday before Halloween, you know, so you could listen to it that Friday, mm-hmm. that Saturday, or you could listen to it on Halloween, which is a Sunday.
Yeah, and it's coming out that Friday that it's coming out is Texie's birthday, so it'll be a birthday special as well as a Halloween special.
Yeah, so maybe I'll slide in our Instagram DMs, wish our Texie boy a happy birthday.
Mm-hmm. I'll post a picture of him in his new Halloween costume. He looks very cute.
Yeah, I've seen it. I can agree. Very cute. Amazon did good.
They did. And they did it twice because his fat ass couldn't fit in the first one. We've been feeding him good around here, so.
He's been eating good. Don't call PETA.
Mm-mm. Oh, he is eating good. He, you know, he used to be a little skinny boy, but now, Lord, he's been eating so much. Brandon, like... But he's also the type of dog that, like, we could probably leave food out for him, like, all day long. And he won't eat unless he's hungry. But what's he hungry? He hungry. But you know what? I feel that. I'm always hungry, so.
You know what? I'm also always hungry. But.
Sada.
Sorry. I got a text message and I got distracted because I have a little bit of ADD. I'm just gonna be honest on this podcast.
Wow.
Wow. Anyways, yep, I'm just gonna be honest. Don't forget to follow us on all of our things. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Email us at thisisgonnasoundweird@gmail.com. You know what? Follow Tex on his personal Instagram if you'd mm-hmm. like. He doesn't post much, but he do post.
I know. Actually, I took a selfie of him today. He looked real cute, so maybe I'll post it. I think his name is Tex Takes Insta or something like that. You can find him.
Something like that.
He's a cute boy.
Yeah. He is a cute boy. I'm sure we've tagged him in a picture on our page. Sure. And I'm sure we follow him on our page.
Oh, yes, we do. Of course we do. He also likes every single one of our photos. Very big fan, Texas. He's listening to us right outside the door right now. He just can't get enough of this podcast.
He's about to beat down the door. He's such a big fan. We appreciate his... support. He's been with us since the first episode. He sat next to us while I recorded the first one.
Yes, he did. And now he's been relegated to the outside of the door because, you know, we can't let him in all the time because then that'll just take away the magic. He likes to listen when it comes out on Fridays.
He likes to be surprised. Will he get a shout out? This week he does. Last week he didn't. Mm-mm. You know.
Alright.
I think that's it. Is that it?
I think so too. This was a short one. Last week was a long one, so y'all get a break this week.
This was just a little quickie. Probably because my throat is so swollen that I'm like, I need to stop talking. I need to go to sleep. Maybe eat a popsicle.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Eat some ice cream.
Ice cream.
Alright.
Alright, we will see you next week for our Halloween special. Mm-hmm. Have a good week. Yeah. Stay weird.
Goodbye.